So thankful and so happy to see the presence of each and every one. It's so good that I joined with Brother Chumley in welcoming those that have been away from us due to sickness, and we're so thankful for your recovery, for Byron, for Shauna, and for others, but we know that there are those among us that are still struggling, Brother Donnie, Brother Glenn, and we need to continue to remember them and so many others in our prayers and trust that we will certainly do that. But it is so good to see the presence of each and every one, and I hope that our study this morning will be beneficial, that everything that we say will be in harmony and truth of God's Word. And I would like for us in our study to consider the matter of murmuring and complaining among the brethren, and to look at it from the standpoint of the dangers that these things present to us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we read in verses 10 and 11, "Neither murmured ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all of these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." So we see that truly murmuring, complaining is a Bible word, and therefore it certainly deserves our attention and our study that we give to it. To make sure that we understand what we're seeing in these verses is to give us a definition of them. According to the Lexicon English Dictionary, the word murmuring is a complaint uttered in a low and indistinct tone. Other words that are similar to murmuring, synonyms they're called, are grumble, grumbling, murmur, and mutter. In the definition, considering the word complaint or complaining, it means to denote one who complains, discontented, repining. It's expressing dissatisfaction or annoyance about something. So what we can see in the definition of these two words is that they both involve the tongue. And since both of these words do involve the tongue, let's familiarize ourselves with yet another verse, and that's in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21. "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits." Concerning murmuring and complaining, the children of Israel did a lot of it. In fact, in just dealing with the books of Exodus and the book of Numbers, some 18 times we see Israel engaged in the doing of these things. Take, for instance, and we won't have time to look at every single one of them, not that it's really that necessary, but just take, for example, Numbers chapter 11, verse 1. "And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp." We look a little bit further in the book of Numbers, in the 14th chapter, and we read verses 27 through 29. "How long shall I bear with this evil congregation, which murmurs against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in my ear, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that are numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me." One other thing that we see, in addition to the fact that the children of Israel were certainly guilty of these things, we can see the consequences of their murmuring and complaining. Going back to what we looked at in Numbers 11 and verse 1, it said, God's anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them. Remember, we read in that 14th chapter, there in verse 28, your carcass shall fall in the wilderness. And God goes on to pronounce the fact that those that were 20 years of age and upward would not see the promised land, those that had come out of Egypt. And again, we see this being a consequence of their murmuring and their complaining. And certainly we know that murmuring is forbidden. We read it in the basis of our text, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's look at it again. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all of these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. So we see even here in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, references being made to Israel. In fact, that first part of chapter 10 deals with a history of the children of Israel and the things that they did to provoke the Lord, the things that the Lord did in return to cause them to have to suffer because of the things contrary to his will. So 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 10 is talking about the children of Israel, but he's saying to those of us who are Christians, neither murmur you, as some of them also murmured. It's in James chapter 5 that we read in verse 9. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. So truly we see that murmuring is something that we as Christians need to consider as that which is to be forbidden with us. And then Jude, in the 16th verse, these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons and admiration because of advantage. Jude here is talking about the character of evil men, the character of those that are seducers. And they're described for us here. But he also says they are murmurers and complainers. So a murmuring and a complaining disposition, let us understand, puts us in the same category of some very bad company that Jude is referring to here in his letter. And there are Christians who grumble. They have a sour disposition. They're dissatisfied. They're discontented. And that comes from an attitude in such affairs. And I really believe the underlying root of murmuring and complaining is just like what the definition that we looked at just a moment ago. It's not being content. You know, another thing that we see sometimes in Christians is that it's difficult for them to see excellence in other Christians because they're always looking at others out of and with a critical eye. They're unhappy. And that can be because of a number of reasons. It could be that they're unhappy because others are more prosperous than they are. So they grumble, they complain. And this prosperous we're talking about could be not just necessarily financial, but it could be health-wise or otherwise. Things of which they prosper in that this person, this Christian, feels that they are not prospering in the same degree. It could be that they're unhappy because others are receiving more honor than they are. And that honor can be in for whatever the reason. So that's the reason they're unhappy. It could be that they're unhappy because others are being thought about, because other Christians are being given more attention than they are themselves. So, some Christians complain because of what's being done. Some Christians complain because of what's not being done. So in either instance, we find an area for which there can be complaints and murmuring to be heard. And it seems that some Christians feel the need to complain if something is not done the way they think that it ought to be done. You know, when we complain and when we murmur, we're focusing on the negative. You ever think about that? Complaints and murmuring is about the things that do not please us, the things that we are not liking. And it's needless to say that this spirit, which is an offspring of pride, and as we've also saw in our definition, it's also the offspring of discontent. This spirit will cause a person to have a miserable life. And it's equally needless to say that it's completely the opposite of what the gospel teaches about being a Christian. And let's look in Philippians chapter 2. And what I want to do is to focus on Philippians 2, beginning with verses 14 through 16. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. And if you read him from the New King James Version, the first part of that verse 14, starts out with, do all things without complaining and disputing. So we have both the word, depending on the translation, the word murmuring and the word complaining. So again, I want us to focus on the statements that we read about in this verse, or these verses. A Christian's attitude and a Christian's behavior must always be, and it's always on display. Let us understand this as a fact in the matter. Our attitudes and the behavior that we engage in that comes from the attitudes that we have in our hearts, in our minds. These are the things that are on display, and these are the things that we must understand are always able to be seen by others. One thing that we see in this passage that is ought to be on display is a cheerful obedience to the commands of God. We see that in verse 14, do all things without murmuring. So all of the things that we do as Christians in keeping ourselves and keeping our lives in harmony with God's will need to be done without murmuring. And then we as Christians should always have on display a blameless walk, and always in the King James the word walk means way of life, it means manner. So we should always have a blameless walk, a blameless manner of life toward all men. That we see in verse 15, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. We should endeavor as Christians not only to be harmless, but to be blameless. Not to do hurt. Not to come under even the just suspicion of either of these two things. Blameless before men. Certainly, that's what we ought to be as Christians. Blameless before men, sincere before God. You know, if we truly profess, as this verse says, to be sons of God or children of God, we must be blameless and harmless. Since when you think about it, we are privileged to be in such a relationship. Sons of God, children of God. And then about that statement, the sons of God, that just simply is helping us to see and understand that as sons of God, we must be different from the sons of men. Without rebuke, verse 15. The New King James Version says, without fault. That's how we need to be as sons of God. Different from the sons of the world. We don't need as Christians to be given any occasion for anyone to complain about us. The complaint being against us. And it works the other way around. We must not be finding fault with everyone and with everything either. We need not always to be suspicious, to be doubtful of others. That's truly not characteristic of what this verse or these verses are saying or any other verses that we read about in the New Testament. In fact, this is not to be suspicious and doubtful of others. That's not the definition of love that we have in 1 Corinthians 13. We know that there's a long list of the characteristics of love. We know that 1 Corinthians 13, the primary subject is not love, but the matter of miraculous spiritual gifts. But there's no better chapter I know of to see the characteristics of love than there in 1 Corinthians 13. And in particular, that which we find in verse 7, where it says, love bears all things. Love believes all things. You see, love bears all things in that love has patience. Love has long suffering to the flaws and to the imperfections of others. And we all have them. We all have flaws and imperfections. Love believes all things. That is, he puts the best construction. He gives the benefit of the doubt on something that might have been said or that might have been done. That's love. And that's the love that a Christian needs to manifest as we let our manner of life be seen. See, we must aim and we must endeavor not only to go to heaven, but to be like the man Demetrius that John described over in 3 John verse 12. Demetrius, to have a good report of all men and of the truth itself. And then verse 15 of Philippians chapter 2 says, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. You see, that's among those that are on the outside. That's the world that we live in. That's in a world where there is no true religion. That's a world in which little is expected concerning crookedness, perversion. Because that's what's in the world. That's what the world has. That's what the world expects. But they don't need to see these characteristics that we're seeing in a Christian. Instead, let us be blameless, let us be harmless, let us be sons of God as we walk in this crooked and perverse generation. And then he says in verse 15, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Remember what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5? He said in verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And we do that. How do we do that? Well, the verse that we're studying here, verse 16, tells us. We do that by holding forth the word of life. You see, it's our duty not only to hold fast, but to hold forth the word of life. Not only to hold it fast for our own benefit, but also to hold it forth for the benefit of others. And that's really what Jesus is talking about and what we looked at there a moment ago in Matthew 5. Let your light so shine. So we need to hold forth the word of life. Just like a candlestick that Jesus talked about in Matthew 5. You don't light a candle and put it under a bushel. You put it on a lampstand in order for it to give light that is in all to all that are in the house. So we hold forth the word of life. Just like that candlestick holds forth that candle and it allows it to shine all around. So what can be done? What's the cure for murmuring and complaining among brethren? The first and the number one thing is the problem has to be recognized. The problem has to be admitted, and the problem has to be put away from among us. Then, and it's only then, that there can be harmony, that there can be growth among God's people in a local church, in a local congregation. This is the third Sunday in March. I think it was the third Sunday in February, a month ago, that I did a lesson on church growth. And it was in that lesson that I based upon a passage in Acts chapter 9, verse 31. Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galatia, and Samaria had peace and were edified. And walking in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. If you recall, we studied in great detail how that the early church had peace. We also studied what was involved in their being edified in that lesson. We studied about what it means to walk in the fear of God. And we hopefully understand better what it means to be in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And I hope that we drew the conclusion from that lesson that the verse itself draws the conclusion. And that is, it was understood by all of these things being the essential ingredients. This is how the church was multiplied. Peace, edification, walking in the fear of God, and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. The impact of murmuring and complaining is on the soul. And if it's not managed, it can destroy many souls in a congregation. And these two things that we're studying, murmuring and complaining, likewise, they hinder the growth of the church and they prevent souls from being added, souls from being converted to it. You know, people who might otherwise be won to become Christians as a result of studying God's word can be turned away when they see fussing and infighting among members of the body of Christ. In Galatians 5, verse 15, Paul said, if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one or the other. So murmuring and complaining as sinful as they can be prone to be, if they are allowed to grow and to fester, they're going to become the tools of destruction, because that's what they can do, and that's what they lead to. They lead to other things. These things may be underlined, but they will certainly, murmuring and complaining will lead to the things, many of the things that we see in Galatians 5 that talks about the works of the flesh, things such as hatred, strife, jealousy, and malice. So, let us not forget that verse that we looked at early on in our study. Proverbs 18, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. If it's our disposition to murmur and to complain, there'll always be things to murmur and to complain about. Because we live in an imperfect world, we live with imperfect people, and that includes those that are members of the Lord's church. So let us take serious heed to the things that we've looked at in our study concerning what the Bible says concerning murmuring and complaining. Let us not murmur and complain because things aren't going our way. Let's not murmur and complain because that we see that there are things that need to be done that aren't being done. We don't know all of the circumstances of everything. So we need to be long-suffering. We need to be patient. Because certainly our murmuring and our complaining will not help us. It will not help others. And it will not help the congregation. So I trust our study. And let's remember, neither murmur you, as some of them also murmur. We're not in good company when we truly engage in such. For the benefit of those that might be here that have not obeyed the gospel, let this opportunity not pass, but what do not given that opportunity. It's important for you to obey the gospel if you have not. Your soul, your eternity is at stake. Hear his word. Faith comes from the hearing of his word. Believe his word. Let that belief be strong enough in you to move, to do, obey what the word teaches. Because the word that we're talking about is God's word. It's God breathed. It's inspired of God. Given by man, but not given by the interpretations of men, but holy men of God. Moved and wrote as they were guided by the Holy Spirit. So we're dealing with not man's words, but God's word. We're dealing with the God that we're going to stand before one day in that great and final judgment day. If we've obeyed his gospel and we live faithful, we will hear him say the most precious words, the most welcomed words that we'll ever hear in our lives. You know, we might think that to hear our wives or our future wives or husbands say, "I do," when we're there in that marriage ceremony was exhilarating. Well, let me tell you, it'll be something even more exhilarating to be able on that judgment day to hear him say, "Well done." That will be so exhilarating. But it will only be if you've obeyed the gospel, if you've lived faithful. If you've heard and you've obeyed the gospel and have not lived faithful, there's sin in your life. As we taught in the Bible study this morning, Christ, the Holy Spirit, cannot dwell in us when sin dwells in us. Sin has to be repented. So as a Christian, as you've obeyed the gospel, repent of your sins. We're with you and for you. Pray. God is faithful. He will forgive. He will cleanse. If you're subject and we can assist you, let it be known while together we stand to serve.